Well, dear friends, we are in Luke chapter 1. We'll be walking through verses 39 through 45. Let's go ahead and read through this passage. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Dear friends, we are a people who are made in the image of God, and we are a people who were designed to be in fellowship. We're designed to be in fellowship with our Lord that has given us life, has brought us into existence, designed to be in fellowship with Him. And we, as a people, who have been saved by grace through faith into a particular community, are to be united one to another, are to be a people who are in fellowship one with another. A people who have been saved by Christ are also united by Christ. Christ is the great uniter. Christ is that which unites His people. Christ is the reason for which His people gather. Christ is the reason for which His people fellowship. You know this as well as I do, that we live in a world that is described as connected. We're described as being a people that are more and more connected, a people that are more and more connected electronically through various means of media. But the truth is, as you look around the culture, as you look around the ways in which these mediums have permeated different cultures in the world, the result has been a greater and greater growing of disconnectedness, a greater and greater growing of disconnectedness that is unlike what was seen in previous generations. I will say even this, what was unlike what was even seen many years ago. The Lord has designed His people. The Lord has made His people. You were created in this way. You were made to be in fellowship with the Lord. You were made to be in fellowship one with another. And the reason is because you were made in the image of God. No, we talked about this not too long ago. Just a couple weeks back in Sunday school, we began our study upon the Trinity, and we talked about the vast difference that exists with the Christian God and all other gods and world religions. The Trinitarian God, the Trinitarian God that has been in existence for all eternity, and within this Trinitarian God, there has been perfect fellowship between each of the persons within the Trinity. We see that spoken by Jesus in John chapter 17, where He is praying for His church, and He is praying that they will have a love one for another, as Christ has had a love and a unity with the Father for all eternity. He is speaking of things that are eternal, things that are of times past. And this God is so different. This God is so distinct from the God of man's religion. Even a God of a religion like Islam, a God who has existed for all eternity, they would declare that to be true. But a God who has existed in isolation for all eternity, one who has spoken not to any other until He brought the world into existence, one who showed love not to another, who had no means of even displaying his glory, communicating even with another prior to bringing the world into existence. But not so with the true God. There has been perfect fellowship within the Godhead for all eternity. There has been perfect fellowship within the Godhead even prior to the Lord bringing the world into existence. The Lord needed you not to display his glory. The Lord needed you not to show his love. His attributes were clearly displayed prior to creation. And you, as one who is made in the image of God, are designed to exist in community, are designed to exist in right fellowship with the Lord, are designed to exist in right fellowship one with another. And the basis for that fellowship, the grounding of that fellowship, that which unites his people, that for which the people even gather together, is our Lord Jesus Christ. We see some beautiful fellowship that is happening here in this passage. God-ordained fellowship that is happening here in this passage as the Lord is prophetically working in the lives of these two women. A time that is quite turbulent, honestly, in both of their lives. And this Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, this Messiah, this one that was declared would come, is now here. And these two women are coming together during this time because of the Lord. And the Lord is blessing them. There's three things I want us to glean from this passage. The first is the seeking of Christian fellowship. The second is the blessing of Christian fellowship. And thirdly, we have the source of Christian fellowship. As people who are made in the image of God and people who have been called to faith in Christ Jesus, Christian fellowship is something that you should be seeking. It's something that is active. It's something that you are doing. It's something that takes intentionality. And even in the midst of the difficulty in seeking that Christian fellowship, which is an active thing that believers are called to do, there's a blessing in that Christian fellowship. There is a blessing for you as a person who seeks out and gathers with believers, seeks out and gathers with believers on the Lord's day, who is blessed by ordinary means of grace as the Lord is changing you and working within you. And there's a blessing that you give to others as you gather with them. Your absence from fellowship, it's not just about you, it's about the people of God. There is something that is lacking in your absence in times of fellowship. We must have an eternal mindset. We must have an eternal understanding. We must be seeing things rightly from an eschatological perspective. This blessing to you, this blessing to others. And they're grounded in this Christian fellowship is the source. It is Christ Jesus. The Lord calls people from many different places, ethnicities, cultures, subcultures. The Lord calls a people to himself. In Revelation, it goes so far as to say that he will call a people to himself from every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. That should be a reminder to you, should be a reminder to me, should be a reminder to each of us, that that which unites us transcends us. That which unites us is grounded in that which is outside of us. It's not about any one of us individually. We receive the blessing from this unity. We receive the blessing from Christ, but Christ is the one that must be uniting the church. Oh, the ways it is so easy. The ways it is so easy in this world to get distracted by so many things that are good. like Mary and Martha, to seek after that which is good, but replace that which is great, that which is primary, with that which is secondary, and that which is but good. We can sin even in that. So the seeking of Christian fellowship, the blessing of Christian fellowship, and the source of Christian fellowship. Let's look at that first point, the seeking of Christian fellowship. Let's look at verses 39 and 40 in Luke chapter 1. And it says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." As I said in the introduction, the Christian life is intended to be lived in fellowship. This is something that is a reminder that we need. So oftentimes, we are replacing individual fellowship one with another, gathering one with another, for that which is mere digital, for that which is merely electronic. There are so many blessings that exist in this world technologically. And it's like any tool that exists. You can use it for the glory of God. You can use it for your own benefit, or it can be something that is a distraction. It can be something that is harmful to you. And even in these mediums that we have a tendency to seek after or to go into on the internet, these are things many times that you're focusing rather on those that, well, perhaps have the same interest as you. Perhaps have a similar background as you, or there's one thing in particular, you know, that you really appreciate here, and you're seeking after that. And these aren't bad things. But we must remember, dear friends, that's not the way that the Lord has called His church. He has not called us all the same. He's not called us all to be exact clones one of another. We are distinct. We see this even here. We have a very young woman here going out during a very turbulent time in her life and gathering together and fellowshipping with another woman who is much older than her. Mary is likely around the age of 14 or 15 during this time. Elizabeth is likely in her 70s. And God is sovereignly working in this time in a very particular way in the lives of these two women. And they're being gathered together during this time. They're coming together during this time because of the Lord and because of what the Lord is doing. Let's be honest. This is a turbulent time in the lives of both Mary and Elizabeth. Mary is a young woman. She is betrothed. And she has been told she is going to bear a son. That is no small thing. That is a really big deal. She can do one of two things during this time. She can emphasize. She can focus upon her difficulties in this situation. She can feel sorry for herself. She can focus upon the ways in which this is really inconvenient. This is really not what I had planned, because it's not. This is not something that in any way had entered her mind that she would be walking through during this time. She can focus upon herself, or she can focus upon the Lord that she is even carrying during this time. And that's a reality that happens, dear friends. Have we not seen that even in more recent times of turmoil that happens in people's lives and inconveniences and oddities that happen and things when they happen in your life, your tendency is to withdraw. Your tendency is to stay within. And we kid ourselves, dear friends. We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves with the various mediums we have as though that is actually uniting with another person, as though that is actually fellowshipping one with another. There are some of these mediums that are absolutely not beneficial for having any kind of decent theological or political conversations. Twitter would be one of those. I don't know if you've ever tried to do something on that medium. Every time I try to use it and I try to write something out, you intentionally have to shorten whatever you're saying in such a way that it leaves all of these holes in whatever you're saying. I'm not very good at using that medium. But we fool ourselves in throwing things out and the relating one with another during these times as though that's real fellowship. And it's absolutely not. It's not how we were intended to be interacting one with another long term in our lives. And it's harmful for you, dear friends. It has been harmful for the people that have been absenting themselves from church for so long. Whether you had a good excuse or not, it was harmful for you. It is harmful for you. You were designed, you were created in such a way to have fellowship one with another. And here's what happens. When you begin to be affected spiritually, you don't always notice it. You don't always recognize these things. You see, that which would be helping you to see the error in your ways at this time, that which would be beneficial to you, is being cut off during this time. You're deceiving yourself to think that what you're doing at this time is actually beneficial. So you're checking off the box to say, okay, I'm good, I have this covered. But the reality is, it's harmful to you. It's very harmful to you. It's harmful for you to be isolated. It's harmful for you to be alone and by yourself. It's not wise. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. It's not good for the body of Christ. You must be gathered, dear friends. You must be there among the people. You must be participating under the ordinary means of grace. I would say this, most especially during times of difficulty. It is during those times that you must be more diligent, that you must be more active, because your natural response is to be a recluse and to pull to yourself out of discomfort, at times even out of fear. To emphasize this, this is so important. During this time, this great time in her life, she is seeking out fellowship even here with another believer, seeking out fellowship here with her cousin Elizabeth. As it says in verse 39, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. She had to be intentional during this time. She was seeking out someone else, let's be honest, that could relate with her situation. She was having to be intentional in seeking out this fellowship that was beneficial to her, as we'll see in the next point. I want to take a moment and just encourage each and every one of you to be considering this reality, your level of involvement in Christian fellowship, your level of involvement with the body of Christ. I appreciated it. Just a few weeks back, we had a ladies' brunch, and we had like 45 women that were there. I don't remember us ever having that many there, gathered together to fellowship one with another, gathered together on a Sunday morning as Pastor Fry was, I would say almost ironically, teaching on a wise use of time, encouraging the women to be considering how it is that they use their time, that they're not filling the schedules with that which is a distraction from that which is more primary. And I was greatly blessed by that. You may not know that I was blessed by even looking at the Google Doc and seeing that many people signed up. And I was blessed by those that came and to help to make the breakfast during that time, blessed by those that served. I was blessed most especially at those that came and those that gathered together during that time and those that were interacting one with another and having these good conversations one with another. I want to use this even as an opportunity here to give you an encouragement, to exhort you in this. And before I say this, let me just clear the table here. I'm not talking to anyone in particular in front of me now, because every now and then I'll say something and someone will come to me afterward and say, Pastor, I know you were talking to me. I said, no. No, I wasn't. You weren't even on my mind when I was saying, well, you were looking right at me. Well, it wasn't intentional that I was looking at you. I'm sorry. So let me just clear the table right here and right now. I am not directing this to anyone here. If I call you on the phone and I say, I haven't seen you for a while, I haven't seen you at church, which we do, by the way, at this church. We don't have inactive members. We only have active membership at this church. So that's something that is biblical. That's something that we have practiced since the inception of this church because we find it to be important and something that is grounded in Scripture. So if I call you on the phone, or Pastor Fry calls you on the phone, and we ask you, we haven't seen you, we miss you, where have you been? We're talking directly to you at that point, but right now I'm not talking directly to any of you. But what I want you to do is I want you to take from this encouragement that I see here in Mary seeking out fellowship even during this time, even during this time of great trial in her life. We all have much busyness in our lives. We all have trials that happen in our lives. I want to encourage you to reflect upon your involvement in the means of grace the Lord has given to you within this church, the opportunities that the Lord has given to you even for service, that you would seriously consider your involvement in these areas, that you would consider how it is that you're using your time. Are you robbing yourself of a blessing by absencing yourself at certain times when you could gather together and be blessed? Are you robbing someone else of a blessing with you being there during those times? You may say, you know, I've got a busy life. I have this going on. I have this. We're preaching this to the Wright family just as much as we are preaching it to all of you. This is something that must be intentional. This is something that we in the Wright family are, in a regular way, having to sit down and think about, what are we doing here? What are we prioritizing? What are we emphasizing here? What are we neglecting during these times? It is good for you to do that. It is beneficial for you to do that. And we would encourage you, both Pastor Fry and myself would encourage you to be reflecting upon that. Reflecting upon your involvement in the means of grace the Lord has given to you here, your involvement in service and the opportunities that exist where the Lord has you. And that is what is so important. We must live where we are. We must live in the lives the Lord has given to us. We must live in the present. So I would encourage you to be seeking Christian fellowship, to be seeking it, most especially on the Lord's Day when the people are gathered in the events that the church provides for you during that time, but even in other opportunities that the Lord gives to you, even other opportunities as the Lord gives to you to be hospitable to other people, to be inviting them into your house, to be involved in the lives of other people in real ways, in tangible ways, that you'd be active in seeking that out. Because secondly, there is a blessing of Christian fellowship. There is a blessing of the people of God fellowshipping one with another, gathering together, being in the lives one with another. And look at this, Luke 1:41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I do want to make a comment on this real quick. I think it absolutely has to be made. I can't begin on this point and not at least make a comment on this. It needs to be recognized that both Mary and Elizabeth are celebrating a life that is in the womb of Mary. They're celebrating John's life too, but most especially, they are celebrating the life of Jesus, who is within the womb of Mary at this time. And if you were to look at this text and project onto it these modern worldly understandings of pre-born humans into this text, it would have no meaning at all. They are not celebrating a clump of cells within Mary. They are not here celebrating a part of Mary's body. It is not a part of Elizabeth's body that is jumping at this time. It is foolishness to make such statements as people make, to say, my body, my choice. This is not about Mary. This is not about Elizabeth. The central focus of this text is upon Christ and what Christ is doing at this time and the effects that it has upon his people. And they're celebrating not Mary or Elizabeth, but rather celebrating Jesus, the Son of God, who is within Mary, and that herald of the Son of God, that herald of the King that is there within Elizabeth, who is prophetically speaking at this time. Prophetically speaking. I pondered on that this week. In utero, John the Baptist is speaking prophetically during this time, even in his movements within his mother. John MacArthur makes this point. He says, this is the smallest prophet that has ever lived. But he is. The Spirit of God is so powerful. The Spirit of God is working here. Even within John the Baptist, in his mother's womb, that he is declaring the glory of God and the coming of this Messiah who is there before him. He has already begun his heralding. He is heralding this Messiah even now for his mother. Say, this is the Messiah. This is he. This is the one. That's what they're celebrating. They're celebrating Christ Jesus. They're celebrating this life that is within Mary. I don't know how that works. Don't ask me to run this through the book of Romans and understand systematically how it is the Spirit is working in the life of John at this time. But he is, and God is sovereign, and God is working at this time, and God is working through a human at this time. It says this. It says this about John the Baptist just a few verses earlier. It says, he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. That's what it says about John the Baptist. So I wanted to make sure you heard that from me, that I know it says here that Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. I'm not projecting that onto John the Baptist. I'm projecting verse 15 onto John the Baptist. But fellowship is something that we should seek after despite difficulty. This is a difficult time for Elizabeth as well, was it not? I mean, she is someone who is getting way more attention in her life during this time than she really desires. Her husband is mute during this time. He is absolutely unable to speak. This is no small time in the life of Mary. During this time, both Elizabeth and Mary are experiencing miraculous conceptions. Elizabeth is past her time of having children. Mary is one who has never been with a man, and she is pregnant at this time. Both of these are miracles. Mary is one that's having, most likely to have, some difficult conversations during this time, having to have conversations with people, and they're just kind of looking at her when she's finished speaking. She's trusting in God during this time. She's seeing the blessing of the Lord working in her even during this time, knowing that what the Lord has planned is good. Not her way, but the Lord's way. She's trusting upon this Savior. Elizabeth is trusting upon the Savior that is there within Mary. Mary could have been stoned for being pregnant at this time. She won't be. She will be vindicated. Even Joseph will seek not to make this public in that way. This is no small thing, but you see her during this trial. That's what I'm emphasizing her. She is going through great stress. She is going through great trial at this time. And even during this time of trial, she is seeking out fellowship with one to whom she is united with in the Lord. And here's where I want you to see this point. This is a blessing for her. This is good for her. She is fellowshipping with this other who, by the way, does understand her situation here. There is no one that understands Mary's situation like Elizabeth understands Mary's situation. But they're gathering together during this time that's honestly a difficult time for both of them. And it is a blessing for Mary. It is a blessing for Elizabeth. She begins to speak prophetically at this time. She begins to speak of the glory of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the blessing that it is even to be there with Mary at this time, for she has the Lord, she has the Messiah. It's important. See this, dear friends. The importance of seeking fellowship, even during times of difficulty, busyness, stress, pain, is a good thing. The tendency is to back off. The tendency is to stay away. The right thing is to be seeking after it. And in seeking it, there's a blessing for you. There's a blessing for others. One of the best things that we can learn in this life, there's a great many things that we should learn in this life, but one of the best things we can learn is the fact that God doesn't need any of us. But He desires to use us. He desires to use us for His glory. You must separate yourself from this. This is not really about me. I must not focus upon myself merely, not focus upon my situation. My eyes must be upon the Lord. Verse 41, it says, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. The baby leapt within her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, that blessing that was even there. God working during the time when the two of them were gathered because Mary had sought this out, and they were gathered there at this time because of this Lord, this promised Lord, this one that was there within Mary. That's third, the source of Christian fellowship. The source of Christian fellowship is there in Christ Jesus. Verses 42 through 45, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ was the source of their fellowship. Jesus Christ was the grounds for which they were united at this time. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of the reason why we are even gathered together, dear church, even at this time, one with another. See, the truth is they had another unity. Both Mary and Elizabeth had another unity. Each of us here at this time had another unity. We were united in Adam. That was the union that we had. That was the connection that we had one with another. Jew, Greek, all of us were under sin. As it says in Romans 3 and verse 9, Paul says, we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. That is the unity that we had one with another naturally. Naturally united. It's not popular to say it, but naturally united as children of the devil, not children of God. You're not born united to Christ. You don't come into the, that's not how you enter the new covenant. You're not born into the new covenant. You are reborn into the new covenant. You are born under Adam. You are born under the consequences of Adam, as it says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. United again in our trespasses and sins. This is naturally where Mary and Elizabeth were. This is naturally where each of us were. Paul writes, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power, power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Don't believe the lies of the Roman Catholic Church. They will tell you that Mary had an immaculate conception, not speaking of Jesus, but rather speaking of her. They will speak of her as being one who didn't inherit an original sin, who wasn't under Adam. Now, we will see shortly that she declares Jesus to be her Lord, declares Jesus to be her Savior. If she's not under Adam, if she's not a sinner, for what is he saving her from? Now, she is like the rest of us, by nature, a child of wrath. See, but the Lord worked within their lives. The Lord has worked in the lives of a great many of you, dear friends. It's a great many of you that I would hope would see this reality, that this need that is there, that one would come to deal with the sin in your life, that you would see the reality of sin in your life, that you would see your need of the Savior. That's what Elizabeth declares there in verse 42. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." The fruit of her womb is Christ. The fruit of her womb is the one who was promised to come, the one that was promised even in the garden that would come from the woman. The one that though the serpent would bruise his heel, he would crush his head. That is the one whom Mary holds. That is the one whom Elizabeth is celebrating. That is the one who will save them both. As we saw in the last sermon, this is one who will be great. Not just great, one who is Son of the Most High. One whom the Lord will give the throne of David to. One who will reign over Jacob forever. And one whose kingdom will never end. This Lord that Elizabeth speaks of is the one that was prophesied, is the one that was declared, is the one that was they were told would come. And this is one who is great. This is one who is fully man, one who has never sinned. He is going to be born. He is going to be human. He's going to be all that it is to be human. He is going to be, but he will be without sin. He will be great. He will be Son of the Most High. He will be a Son of God. He will be one who is fully God and fully man. And this is the one who will reign forever and ever. This is the one who will sit upon the throne of David. This is the one who will crush the head of the serpent, who will reign over the people of God forever, who will be their king, who will defend them, who will protect them, who will guard them from the serpent. And his kingdom will never end. His reign will never end. Jesus will declare, "It is finished," upon that cross. In the fullness of the consequences of sin and death will be defeated there upon the cross. And that's why they're gathered here. It's because of this Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, who is even now heralding. I just reflected upon that for some time this week. Just pondered. He is heralding now. He is doing his work even now. There they are, united. United in their faith in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? So many err in this way. They think somehow that people in the Old Testament, they were saved by slaughtering animals and burning them upon the altar. Do you not remember what we talked about recently? 250,000 lambs were slaughtered a year in the temple. 100,000 lambs were slaughtered each and every Passover. Does that sound like it was dealing with the consequences of their sin? No, it was demonstrating what the writer in Hebrews points out, the insufficiency of these sacrifices, that they are merely pointing to the one who will come, that perfect Lamb of God, this one that is prophesied will come and will deal with the consequences of sin. This mercy that is shown to his people. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." That's what the Lord did. Is that you, dear friends? Have you been made alive? Do you see your sin? Have you recognized the seriousness of your circumstance? Have you seen the peril that you're in? Do you see the danger of your soul? So many men don't. So many men look to their own goodness, their own righteousness. They compare themselves to others and they say, well, at least I didn't do this or I didn't do that. They tell themselves, I went to church this day. I didn't do this, I did that. As though you can bribe God. As though there is something you could do to make yourself right before God. Just imagine that. Just imagine trying that in a courtroom in this country. You violate even a basic law and you tell the judge, I know I ran the stoplight. You know, but I won't do it again, I promise. The judge will say, you shouldn't do it again. It's good that you won't do that again, but you ran it this time. There's a consequence to your actions. You owe $350. And you say, well, I'm sorry. Look, you need to understand how I've done a lot of really good things. You know, I have helped people when they're in need. What do people like to say? I raise my children. I pay my taxes. Things that you're already supposed to do. Even if you go above and beyond that, the judge will not be satisfied. You will be declared insufficient. You have broken this law. There's a consequence to you breaking that law. See, God has shown us mercy. God has shown us mercy through this one who has come forward, through this one that is being heralded even now by John the Baptist, the one who is being worshiped and praised even now by Elizabeth. This is the one that has come forward. He has done all that is necessary. God has shown his richness and his mercy. He has shown his love towards us. So how has he shown his love towards us? He has shown his love towards us in while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That is where this king will go. This king has come upon this world not to raise for himself his own political faction. He has come into this world not to raise for himself a new government upon this world within a country. No, he has come to reign and rule within the hearts of his people, to change his people from the inside outward. And Elizabeth is celebrating this. She is praising the Lord. She is praising Christ Jesus. When you look to Christ, you look less upon yourself. And we see that happening right here. She says, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She sees Jesus as her Lord. She sees Jesus as the Messiah to come. She sees Jesus as the promised one. This is the one that will crush the head of the serpent. This is the one. And she says this in verse 45. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Blessed is to all who believe this. It is by grace and through faith that you are saved. They were saved by grace and through faith in the Old Testament. We are saved by grace and through faith in the New Testament. Do you believe? Is Christ your Lord? He is, whether you recognize it or not. Some will say, well, won't you make Jesus your Lord? He is your Lord. Who would say that? I know in this country we like to say, that's not my president. That is your president. Okay, if you're a citizen of your country, of this country, this is your president. You don't make him your president. That is what he is. And I know a lot of you are distracted by this point, by the person that I'm using here. But understand this. You don't make Jesus your Lord. He is your Lord. You are rightly recognizing that which is true. And it is a gift that the Lord is giving here. You must, but see your need of it. You must just receive Christ Jesus, as it says in verse 15 of Romans 5. The free gift is not like the trespass, for the many died through the one man's trespass. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This is the free gift. This is the grace of God that is given. If you will but believe, as Elizabeth here is believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, does it matter how you live? What kind of a religion is this? No, Jesus changes you from the inside out. I had a great conversation with a Muslim this week, and we talked about that. How man's religion seeks to work merely externally. See, but in true religion, the Lord is working internally through his people. It does matter how you live. The Lord is changing you from the inside out. The Lord is affecting you from the inside out. As Paul says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. You say, it doesn't matter how you live. It does matter how you live. The Lord is going to change you. You're going to be affected. You're going to be like Lazarus. You are going to walk out of the grave. Why? Because you're alive. He has given you life. And as one who has been given life, as one who has been changed, who's the source of this change is Christ Jesus, God has done this for his good purpose, to work his good purpose out within us. And that change the Lord has made in us should drive us to fellowship with the Lord, drive us towards fellowship one with another, that we'd be even seeking this out, that we'd be intentional in how it is that we are planning our lives, planning our days, that we would see this life that we have as that which is passing by, as opportunities that are lost are no longer there. They must be seized in this time. We must live in real time, in the real world. Not in imagination, not in a world that is not, not in a place where the Lord has not placed us. We must live here, we must live now. And this fellowship that the Lord gives to us that is grounded in Christ Jesus, in his person and work, and us being grafted into him is a blessing for us individually and a blessing for others as well. My desire, dear friends, is that you would see this, that you would recognize this, that you would see the goodness of Christ, the blessing that Christ has given to each one of us, that we'd be working and striving where he has us at this time. Let's pray.